The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who was bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there was one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. You may be seated. Christians pray. And that's something that should be so obvious, but when you think about your life as a Christian, if prayer isn't a significant aspect of your life in Christ, then you need to repent and reevaluate things. I had a professor in seminary who was often fond of telling us, rather warning us as seminarians, be careful when you ask people what they believe, they might tell you. And you find that out often as you talk about how often do you pray or what is prayer. It can be confusing to us at times because our old sinful man likes to rear its ugly head in more ways than one. But we know that a theology of prayer boils down to command and promise. It's really that simple. God commands you to pray, and he promises to hear and answer you. So you are commanded to pray to God, and God expects that this will simply be a part of who you are as his children. But with this command, God gives his promise that he will hear and he will answer you, as he is your father and you are his dear children. So when we look at this gospel reading on this Sunday of the church year, this Sunday is Rogate, means ask. Jesus teaches you two things about prayer in this gospel reading. The first is only Christians can pray. And the second is Christ promises to answer the prayers of Christians. And so Jesus says in the gospel reading, in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. The Large Catechism confesses prayer as calling upon God's name. And what that definition does, drawn from the scriptures, roots prayer in God and who he is as his word reveals. And so more specifically, we see that prayer rests solely and completely upon Christ and his work for you. Jesus is teaching you that today, and it can't be stressed enough. He's teaching you what it means to pray to God, and he's inviting you, he's urging you, he's teaching you to do so. It's a gracious invitation to hear and answer your prayers out of his mercy toward you and what he has accomplished by his obedient life, his atoning death, his resurrection for your justification, and his ascension at the right hand of the Father. And so in this way then, prayer is seen only through the lens of Jesus. So to pray in Jesus' name is to pray in the life, death, and resurrection of your Lord. He's not giving you some formulaic phrase that you must use as a tagline in order for God to hear and answer you, but he's teaching you and he's proclaiming to you your identity. He's showing who you are in Christ, who is the Son of God. So to ask and call upon him is to pray through the blood of the atonement, which has satisfied God's wrath against you, reconciled you to the Father. So that in every prayer that you pray as one who is baptized into Christ, you're approaching God as one who's at peace with him, as one who's not his enemy, as one whose sin is not held against you, but as one who is dear and near to your Lord. And so it's no wonder then why this gospel reading ends today with Jesus saying what he does about peace. Because peace is a word of forgiveness. Jesus said in John 16:33, the last verse of our gospel reading, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you see, prayer doesn't depend upon you. Because if it were, then God wouldn't hear and answer your prayer. You would have no promise attached to that. Your righteousness, your only way of approaching God is the righteousness of faith, which is a gift of God. So calling upon God in Christ is solely out of God's grace and mercy toward you in Jesus. God hears you through Jesus. So every prayer that you pray, going to the Father, you pray in Christ, and it falls upon favorable ears. And God promises you that he hears you, your prayers and answers them. Because the world would tempt you into placing your trust in prayer to something other than God. It would tempt you to forget the promises of God and to think that prayer is your way in somehow manipulating the name of God rather than calling upon the name of God. Or you're tempted in other ways too, even when it's well-meaning or well-intentioned, to think, well, if I can just get enough people to pray for me, or if I just pray hard enough, then God, it can really get God to hear and answer my prayer. It'll go to the top of the list. But prayer is never a power. Prayer is speaking to God, talking to God as children who are talking to their dear Father. Now, there will be those times as you go through this life when you see the answer to your prayer. Sometimes it might not be right away. In the Bible, the example is given of the persistent widow who keeps praying and clinging to those promises. Or think about the Canaanite woman who was seemingly ignored, then rebuked and called a dog by Jesus. But in humility, her prayers looked to the promises of God, who alone shows mercy in Christ, even if that means that she would be a dog. And in your life, there may be prayers you're still praying that don't seem to be answered yet, or the devil is trying to get you to doubt God and think that they are falling on deaf ears. But that doesn't mean one instant that God has stopped hearing and answering your prayers. But it's precisely in those times that we go through in our life, of this times of trial, this times of suffering, or the German word is Anfechtungen, you know, this suffering, this agony that the Lord places before us, that we cling to those promises. And we hear what Jesus says in that reading today: ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So as you pray, you cling to word, to those words, and in doing so, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And you see that the joy that he can give, for he is crucified and risen for you. And he is the God who hears and promises to answer your prayers. He is the God who has risen from the dead. He is the God who will raise you from the grave also. So the boldness of prayer is the boldness of trusting the promises of God, even when the answer to your prayer might be no. I often talk about this when praying with people in the hospital. You always think about, in 2 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about, remember the thorn in the flesh? We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. It could have been his eyesight, a lot of people think. It could have been any number of things. But God, he prayed to God, what? Not once, not twice, but three times that the thorn in the flesh be taken from him. And God heard his prayers. God answered his prayers. And what did God say? Nope. He said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So even in that, Paul teaches us, and God teaches us, to look to him who alone is good, righteous, the one who knows what we need even before we ask him. And even in those times when our prayer is answered with no, that his power is made perfect in weakness and his grace is sufficient for us, because he's actually God and we're not. Because everything rests in him who has created, who has redeemed, and who has sanctified you to be his own dear children. So as you pray in this way and in the faith, the Lord sustains you. He strengthens you through his word and sacraments. And he fixes your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, and the one who gives you peace and has overcome the world. And so Jesus goes on in the gospel reading to teach you the ramifications. He says, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And those words of Jesus echo the last 2 weeks, where Jesus has been talking about his work going to the Father, him offering up himself on the cross, dying to satisfy God's wrath, him rising from the dead, and ascending to the right hand of the Father. Through faith in Christ, you have salvation. You have access to God as you pray in this life. Jesus goes on further. He says, his disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So what wonderful things to hear from your Lord this morning as you see who you are in Christ and who he is for you. Even though he tells the disciples they will be scattered and leave him alone, Jesus will not be alone, for he is with the Father. And all of that for you means something. It means that you stand before the throne of God as one who is in Christ, who's hidden in him, who's clothed with him. And in this world then, as you go through the tribulation, the trial, the suffering, you have peace. You have the Lord who has overcome the world. And your prayer as a Christian realizes this, and it lives in it, because you know that you have the deliverance from the tribulations of the world, and you look forward to the life to come. So when you pray to God, you are praying as his children. You're praying to as those who bear the name of the Holy Trinity. You are ones who have been made clean by the blood of Christ. And there's a great confidence and a great boldness in your prayer. To pray the Lord's Prayer and call God our Father, to call him your Father is nothing insignificant. And that great catechetical hymn of Luther that we sang as our hymn of the day, Luther does a masterful job of going through those petitions. But you think about that. The gift of the Lord's Prayer really teaches us about prayer in general. And we see the what it is, the access that we have, because not everyone can call God their Father. Only those who are in Christ can pray the Lord's Prayer rightly and with confidence. But that's you. That's who you are. You pray the Lord's Prayer as dear children. You pray to God. You're in Christ. You have the boldness to go to the Father and for him to hear and answer you. And it's sweet incense before the throne, because your prayers are carried through Christ crucified, the one with whom the Father was well pleased. So when you pray, you're heard as dear children, and God cares for you. And whatever is going on in your life, being times of trial, trouble, suffering, thanksgiving, or great joy, the Lord hears you. There's nothing insignificant in your life that God doesn't care for you and not listen to your prayer. Think about in the Lord's Prayer how we even pray for daily bread. Even whatever food God would give us, that we give him thanks for and know that it comes from him. Or a little kid thanking God for his dog, or for the Lord to keep it safe, just as a congregation would pray for her country, for the world around us, for all of these things. All of them are heard, because all are prayed in Christ, who is the mediator between God and man, the one who is your Redeemer. So consider what this means as you pray. There's freedom to pray and freedom in prayer. Prayer for you as the Christian is living in the freedom that comes with salvation. You are free to approach the throne of God because you belong to Jesus. And your Lord is the one who has come for you. And there is a freedom to pray that God promises to hear and answer you. And know too that God actually prays for you as well. When you pray to your Lord, the Lord himself is also praying for you. The Son prays for you, and in Romans 8, we even hear that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And finally, there's another thing to consider about prayer this morning as well. God's Word guides you who you are and who you should pray for in your life. God teaches you in the epistle reading, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." So what does this look like then as you as a Christian pray? You pray for those who are in authority over you. Notice it doesn't just say the ones that you like or the ones you voted for. No, all in authority. And with that, all people. You pray for your leaders, you pray for your bosses, you pray for your pastors, you pray for your teachers, your coworkers, your employees, you pray for your friends, you pray for your family, you pray for those who even persecute you, Jesus says. You pray as Jesus prayed. You pray for all people. Prayer lives in the new person that God has created you to be, that new man that you have in Christ, that he's called you to be in this life and in for eternity. And one of the things that prayer does too then is it combats the old sinful flesh. So take just one example. When you're angry with someone, Stop what you're doing. Pray for that person or people. Pray that God would show them mercy, strengthen their faith, watch and keep them in his care, bring about repentance if that's needed. And then after you do this, after you pray for that person or pray for other people, pray for yourself. Pray that your anger would depart. Pray that God would give you grace and mercy to care for your neighbor. Now, is this hard to do? Well, for your old sinful nature, it is. That's why it's called crucifying the old man. Why daily you die to sin. You don't just put sin to rest, you die to it. You're called to a better life as a Christian. You're called to look outside of yourself. You're called to live in faith toward God and love toward your neighbor. So prayer is just one of those exercises and aspects of the Christian life where God teaches you, where he guides you, that this is what the new life in Christ looks like. This is what you are to be doing as you live in relationship to your neighbor. You're to be praying for him. And there's something practical in this too. When you start to pray for those who you're angry with or those who have hurt you, you start to see and experience something. You see that God takes your burdens onto himself. You see that your anger is redirected, that it's reworked into a godly heart and action. So this is why, in the Large Catechism, for instance, we talk about prayer as a weapon. It's a weapon against the devil, against temptation, against sin. And along with this, too, you find something about it, that there's rest in this. In the busyness of this world, that we often deceive ourselves that we're busy, but that's a whole other discussion, that God actually calls you to find rest. To rest in him, the Lord who promises to hear and answer you. That you take the time to pray, even if it's, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. You find rest in the Lord who hears you. Jesus said, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So thanks be to God this day for the gift of prayer. Christians, pray. And dear Christians, on this Rogate Sunday, pray to your Lord. Pray this day, pray every day, pray without ceasing. Teach your children to pray, your grandchildren to pray, your friends to pray, and all who call upon him to pray to Jesus as beggars who look to your Lord in mercy. Pray boldly, pray confidently with yourself, your spouse, your family, knowing that God commands you to pray. And he promises to hear and answer you. And as you do this, and as you teach others to do the same, fix your eyes on Jesus. Behold Jesus crucified and risen, and know this is all most certainly true. The Son of God and true man is yours. And that means everything. In Christ, you have it all as God commands you to pray and promises to hear you. And hear you, he does. Now, as you pray, and on that final day into eternity, when your faith ends and you see him face to face, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, this is who your God is, and this is who you are as his children. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.